At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
A warmer from the below. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VEASAN Family Podcast. We do have a great podcast for you. So in the second segment, we're going to be joined by Eli Becker of HXCBB. We're going to be taking a look at conference realignment from a wide variety of different lenses, including how we've seen a lot of teams that they do wind up getting aligned in a new conference in terms of football and how that winds up actually having a positive effect on their basketball team as well. I'm going to point out an example of a team from the Big 12 that this wound up happening to a few seasons ago. So a little bit of a case study there, trying to figure out what we're all going to be getting both this year and in future years with regards to conference realignment. I'm also going to be asking him about Imani Bates, what we can expect out of him now that he has decided that he is going to be going to Eastern Michigan. Certainly a topic of conversation there. So going to have a great chat with Eli of HXCBB in the second segment. And then in the final segment, going to give you guys a little bit of a recap as to everything we've been seeing in terms of college basketball transfers the last few days. We haven't seen a lot of D1 guys wind up transferring, but we've seen a few guys from the junior college ranks and the non-D1, D2, D3 levels wind up coming up. So I'm going to be recapping those for you in the final segment. And if you do have a question, comment, segment, idea, whatever you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at @unit_81. Keep in mind, letters CM. Name does not matter, so as per usual, please just send these into the timeline. The other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast. Mind that 5-star review. Really did not wind up getting in any Twitter questions today, but we had a great chat with Eli, so that is going to be coming your way next right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the VEASAN Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops-Pierce, and now part of the VSiN family of podcasts. And it is always great to get this guest on, as Eli Becker is the founder of HXCBB and a man that does a lot when it comes to being able to cover college basketball, and does so all 12 months out of the year. On top of his work at HXCBB, he contributes for the All Access Network along with Athletic Director University, and he, much like myself, out here on the West Coast. And be able to follow Eli on Twitter. That is at Becker_Eli. Last name is spelled Bettger. And Eli, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on, Greg. It's always a good time.
It is a great time. And out here in our neck of the woods, we are right now seeing just a lot of mix-ups and a lot of shake-ups in general in terms of realignment with the LA schools going over to the Big Ten. And just in your opinion, because you're a man that's actually out there in the great state of Washington, what do you think we're going to see moving forward with regards to these West Coast schools? Because it's something that I've pointed out a lot in this offseason, just the Pac-12 staying very stagnant. Meanwhile, these mid-majors out there in the Mountain West, even to a little bit of a lesser extent, the WCC, along with the Big West, doing a good job being able to make some good hires, being able to bring in talent in general. And I think that it's going to be really intriguing to take a look at the landscape, because I almost feel like some of these mid-major schools out here on the West Coast, they might be playing this year sort of thinking, if we wind up going off and having a big year, we might be able to go up the totem pole in terms of a conference.
That's a fascinating point here, and there are really so many directions you could take this conversation. I think, just to begin, this all begins with media rights and TV rights, and those are the big swingers here, Fox and ESPN, maybe even NBC and Apple and CBS to a certain extent, are the ones who are really the chess movers here. And the main play and the fascinating tidbit that I've seen in regards to the decision for UCLA and USC to leave for the Big Ten is largely attributed to the Pac-12 and their lengthy TV media deal that they had signed, that I believe extended over a decade into 12 years, was signed under the previous Pac-12 commissioner. And what that has done has pretty much almost handcuffed the Pac-12 into an undesirable TV revenue stream and has made other markets much more attractive, most notably here, the Big Ten and the SEC, which are in large part kind of pulling away from the rest of the Power Five. So it creates this landscape where the Big Ten has been able to enter and also leave and begin renegotiating with their TV partners before the Pac-12 has been able to do the same. And I think, to no coincidence, on Tuesday, the Pac-12 board of directors are already looking into signing and negotiating their next media rights agreement. So it really is just a bunch of dominoes. And you could say it was Texas and Oklahoma that set it off by joining the SEC. It could have been set off when the American was formed. It's realignment as college sports, and it's such a fast-paced environment right now that I do think what you brought up in schools having an upwards trajectory, if you think about some of the successful Group of Five teams in recent years, I'm thinking about BYU and Houston and Cincinnati and UCF and those types of schools. You could even throw in San Diego State, Fresno State, a lot of these programs that have, you know, outperformed expectations and have been successful in, whether it's basketball or whether it's basketball and football, if they sponsor both sports, have been able to really increase their standings from a national perspective and become a more attractive target for these larger conferences, because truly what's happening is the most attractive programs are being scooped up by typically either the Big Ten or the SEC. And what has to happen there for the conferences that are getting picked off on, they need to do the same move. So then you see the Big 12 is going to search for the American. The Pac-12 is probably going to dip into the Mountain West. And then it continues. Maybe the Mountain West has to dig into maybe the Big West, the WAC, or the WCC. So it really is a cycle that just continues and continues. And I think what's fascinating here is the potential marriage between the Pac-12 and the Big 12, which would form kind of the best of the West, if you will, that could potentially rival what the Big Ten and the SEC have. I don't know if it would be quite on that scale because largely the most prestigious universities are located in the Central and Eastern time zone, but it would be fascinating to see those two conferences come together and figure something out. But what I will say is pretty fascinating about all this as kind of the closing point here is both the Big 12 and the Pac-12 now have commissioners that haven't even been on the job for more than a year. And Brett Yormark was just recently introduced as the Big 12's commissioner within the last week. George Klyavkov, who doesn't even have a sports background, much like Brett Yormark, who is more so involved in the NBA and with Jay-Z's Roc Nation label. Both of them aren't really traditional college athletics minds, and they're quickly being put into the fire of figuring out how to remain relevant and how to keep their conferences alive, for lack of a better term, in what is quickly becoming pretty much the largest realignment domino we have ever seen in college sports. So it will be amazing to see, regardless of what the moves are, what these two new commissioners are going to do, because there has never been a more strategically dynamic era in college sports when you're battling constant realignment. There are massive, massive TV contracts that are being signed. NIL, COVID, the list just goes on and on and on and on and on. It will be fascinating to see what happens with all of this. But I just hope that kind of what you touched on with Gonzaga is that I hope a lot of these programs that are not necessarily in the Power Five but are maybe kind of waiting in the wings are not going to be lost in the shuffle, because there just is so much value that a Gonzaga men's basketball program can bring, or Coastal Carolina baseball program can bring, or Florida Gulf Coast women's basketball program can bring. So it's going to be a pretty fascinating 2-3 months, and honestly another year or so of whatever transpires with all this realignment.
And to your point with Coastal Carolina in terms of their baseball program, I mean their football program as well, I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be interested in that, as well as Eli Becker is joining me on the podcast. Does a great job doing a wide variety of things, most notably the founder of HeatCheck CBB. And Eli, as we know, so many of these moves, they are based on football. I mean, we're not going to beat around the bush. We love college basketball, but college football, it brings in more value than college basketball. Now, college basketball is very clearly number two, and you mentioned it with some of the ancillary sports like UConn women's basketball. That's big out there in the northeast part of the country. SEC baseball, that's another good example as well. But with that said, I just go back to what we wound up seeing in the big wave of realignment. I think it's towards the mid-2010s where you wound up seeing Syracuse wind up joining in the ACC. You wound up seeing pretty much the newly reformed Big East. And one thing that I took a look at in terms of those moves that wound up happening during that time period is that you wound up seeing something a little bit under the radar in terms of a few teams that were in the old Mountain West wind up joining bigger conferences. That would be Utah going into the Pac-12 and then TCU going into the Big 12. And with TCU, it was really a dormant college basketball program for a very long time. And all of a sudden, we're taking a look at TCU. And 8 years ago, it was a pretty irrelevant college basketball program. Now we're staring at them getting into the top 25. And I do feel like if you do wind up having some of these schools that wind up getting poached for their football, like I think most notably San Jose State, I don't think that you're going to see maybe the same turnaround where San Jose State becomes a top 25 college basketball team. But if you do wind up seeing a school like that, that winds up being a part of a bigger conference in terms of the football, I do think that the basketball spending will follow suit. And I think that you're going to see a more competitive product in general out of those schools.
That's a great point. And I think that that is something that we have seen in recent years, where a program may join a bigger conference that is going to receive more revenue largely on the football side. And then that's able to be distributed to some of the other sports that school offers. And I think TCU is a really good example there, because as of, I believe, 2018 or 2019, TCU had one of the largest proportional increases in men's basketball budget over, I believe, a 3 to 5 year span. So that is a good example of program that can be taken from one of these so-called mid-major leagues, join a high major conference, and then reap some serious benefits. Because like you said, TCU was in that realm of being relatively dormant on the basketball side, and now we'll enter November with the Horned Frogs most likely ranked in the top 15, if not the top 20 in the preseason poll, which hasn't happened in a long, long time. So that's kind of what makes that trickle-down effect so impactful in the current era of realignment, because you don't know if, say, San Diego State could be the program that gets the call if the Pac-12 wants to expand. We've already seen what has happened with Cincinnati and Houston and UCF. Houston's had an excellent football program in recent years, and they've been even more dominant on the basketball side. So then getting the revenue that comes with being a Big 12 member, that's going to be another major thing that Houston can lean on as a program. So it's a lot to unpack, and I will say that so much that is being spoken about right now is speculation. I think that it's important to retrieve information, just like anything else, but to retrieve information from those who are truly following realignment and have direct sources with university presidents or conference commissioners, because those are really the ones who know these things behind closed doors. And although UCLA and USC came to a shock to many, as it did to me, I think those who were up to speed with what was going on kind of saw the writing on the wall for quite a while. But again, at the end of the day, so much of this is dictated by which football programs have the most exposure, have the most branding, have the largest TV market, and will ultimately bring in the most viewers on Saturdays, because that is what dictates what these TV media deals look like. So a lot of these programs that are kind of in that phase of being good enough to join a Power 5 conference, or some of the unique scenarios like a Gonzaga, I think the recent news puts even more pressure on whatever it is that Gonzaga decides to do. And as of right now, I have no idea, because Gonzaga is in a situation unlike any that we've seen before. And we have known for quite some time that Gonzaga is the elite of the elite in terms of men's basketball. Even without winning the national championship, they are considered one of the best programs year in and year out. But the question that has to be asked is, Gonzaga at this breaking point now where being a WCC member is no longer sustainable, is it really at that point where so much is moving upwards in terms of the best programs that are having to get more exposure? Would a Pac-12 consider bringing in Gonzaga? Would a non-geographic type partner, kind of like UCLA and USC joining the Big Ten, could that come about? Could they join the Big East, which is obviously heavy into basketball and not in football? So there are so many routes, and the university president that's doing their due diligence has to be considering what conference they are going to align with, what their primary goals are, and what they need to be. And you know as well as I do, being a University of Washington alum, the Huskies are in a position where they ultimately hold their cards to their chest, and they have to understand what is it that they plan to do, because they can potentially consider a new conference if that could come about. They could consider staying with the Pac-12 with Oregon and trying to build and restructure their conference much like the Big 12 did. Could a merger happen? It's just, there's so many layers to it, and you could really go on and on with all the situations, but I think ultimately it just comes down to football money. It comes down to those who truly know what's going on that are providing information on what's going to happen next in college sports.
It's absolutely insane to see what we are getting right now as well. Could you wind up seeing a situation as well with Gonzaga where they sort of become like a Wichita State that is in the American when it comes to college basketball, but they really don't have much of a football program, as we know, Gonzaga. They are sort of in that fold as well. So that is a very big piece of the puzzle. We are probably not going to ever wind up seeing anything where we wind up having a Big East version of just West Coast teams, because you currently have that right now, for lack of a better saying, with regards to the WCC, where you've got a couple teams that they do play some football, like San Diego and what have you. But for the most part, you've got a lot of schools that they don't really partake in football. So that is a very tricky situation. And joining me on the podcast, we do have Eli Becker. And Eli, We could probably have about a five-hour conversation with regards to what's going to happen with conference realignment. We could throw out there 37 different things. And next week, it'll probably all be by the wayside, and it'll be something that we did not wind up talking about whatsoever, knowing everything that has been going on. But with that said, we did wind up getting one piece of known news last week, and that was Amani Bates. He winds up heading to Eastern Michigan, a guy that was in the top five in the recruiting class of 2021 after he reclassified from 2022. Just what are your takeaways with this and just what we can expect out of him? Because what I've noticed is a lot of these highly touted top 100 guys, when they wind up going down to a little bit of a lower level, you saw that most notably with Pat Baldwin Jr. going to UW-Milwaukee, Makir Maker going to Howard. You're able to go down the list. These guys that have joined these smaller conference schools, they just haven't been able to have any success, and it has backfired for darn near every one of them. It feels like this is a little bit different with Amani Bates. So I'm not sure what your thoughts are, but I think that this could wind up working out for both sides. And I tell you right now, St. Neith is probably very, very excited for this opportunity.
Yeah, it was always going to be a big deal with whoever landed Bates, and for a variety of reasons. I think that Bates returning to Eastern Michigan and Ypsilanti could be exactly what he needed. Being home, maybe that is what he needs to feel more comfortable and to really go about his business and focus on just becoming the best basketball player that he can be, because as we all know, despite how his freshman season went, this is still a guy who had articles written about him as being truly the next star in this generation of college basketball and in professional basketball as well. It's also fair to say that that hasn't panned out yet, and I think he has a lot of living up to do and a lot of growing up that he has to do. I don't know if this is the best decision for him, and I can only say that from miles and miles away without knowing him and knowing his camp and his father's involvement and what have you. But I think at least from the perspective of what he needs to work on in his skill set, I just don't know if playing for an Eastern Michigan program is what is going to be best for him. I just don't know. It feels like a pretty significant risk. I'm sure returning home, while that might bring more comfort, it might also bring more distractions. And much like we saw with Pat Baldwin, and also Makir Maker, as you mentioned, going to Howard as a five-star, is a lot can go wrong. He could be, given the basketball, he could become one of the highest usage players in America and be counted on so much that he's seen as someone who is inefficient. He might not put up the best numbers. He certainly didn't in his 1 year at Memphis. He had plenty of nights where he really struggled to score the basketball. He shot just a sliver under 39%, less than 33% from deep. Those just aren't numbers that are going to cut it when the best skill set that Imani Bates brings to the table is his scoring ability and his creation. He's never going to be an all-league defender. That's just not what his skill set is like. He's very long. He's able to create. He's able to find looks on offense. He's not going to be a trusted assist man. He isn't really a gifted passer. I think for him, playing a smaller role with the more talented supporting cast was probably in his best interest. And a coach who could really push him to his fullest potential. At least from my perspective, I thought either Michigan or Seton Hall would be his best fit. With Seton Hall, with Shaheen Holloway being there now, we are already extremely familiar with his ability to get the very most out of his players. He was able to lead a Metro Atlantic team to, I believe, a top 75 defense, if I'm not mistaken, this past season. And that is almost unheard of for a team of that conference level. All these guys being unranked recruits, clearly they bought in, were able to get the job done. With Michigan, he just would have had more talented players around him. He would have Hunter Dickinson, who would take off a lot of the usage on offense, and I think would be able to really let him settle down and work on his game and not be counted upon. I want to see him succeed, because I think it's pretty crushing to see any 18-year-old who has all of the weight on his shoulders as being the next guy to fail. But just don't know if being surrounded by teammates who, and not to discredit them, but this was a team that lost 21 games last season in the Mid-American. This wasn't a good basketball team last season. If he is going to be expected to be counted on the guy who puts up 15 shots a night and isn't doing so at a remarkable rate, I just don't know how much that is going to improve his NBA draft stock. And you have to kind of wonder where he goes from there. If it wasn't Michigan or Seton Hall, I would have thought that G League would have been a great fit for him to really just transition straight into the professional realm and start working on his game. But he chose to go home, and I hope it works out for him, because I'd love to see him pan out, because I do think he has an exceptionally high ceiling if it does pan out. But there is a lot of risk involved in this move, so we'll see what happens from there and if Stan Heath can make it work.
Yeah, I mean, the lowest risk right here is Eastern Michigan, because at the very minimum, you'll be able to be like, oh, we had a top five guy from the class of 2021 wind up coming in, and Stan Heath, well, he has never been known as an offensive mastermind or a revolutionary of the game, even when he was being able to do a solid job, being able to lead a few teams to the NCAA tournament. So it's going to be so interesting to watch that. And I know that you, Eli, are doing a great job of being able to keep note of everything that's going on right now. You do a great job over there at HeatCheck CBB. But along with that, Athletic Director U is a place that you wind up putting out a few articles for. All Access Network, you do a great job over there as well. So let the good people at home know they're able to follow you on social media and everything they've got going on in general.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Greg. It's a really busy time to be following along with not only college basketball, but college athletics as a whole. And as always, we're following along with everything on HeatCheckCBB.com. All of our social handles are at HeatCheckCBB as well. And even if it's July, there's always something to cover and talk about. So really appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. And I'm sure that those gentlemen are getting beginning set to do some previews relatively soon, as well as this podcast has been transitioning into that as well. Eli does absolutely amazing work taking a look at the game of college basketball. So it was great to get him aboard today. Big thanks, Eli, for joining me right here on Chris Kasoops, now part of the VSIN Family Podcast. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast to give you a little bit of a roundup as to all the news and notes that we want to see in college basketball over the last 24 hours.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
All
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Eubanks, and now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. It is always a pleasure to get our good friend Eli Becker of HXCBB on the show. He does an amazing job being able to take a look at the game of college basketball, and he, much like myself, on the West Coast, being able to gauge it all. So a big thanks to him for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast. I give you a little bit of a roundup as to all the news and notes that we wound up seeing in college basketball on Tuesday. Some of these are from the last few days in general as well. We haven't been seeing a ton with regards to the transfer portal, but what we are seeing a little bit more of right now is some of these junior college transfers winding up making some decisions along with a few guys from the non-D1 level going to the D1 level. This, for example, Giancarlo Garfalas. He was playing at the D2 level for the Eckerd Tritons out there at the D2 level. He is going to be heading to Tarleton State, and guy that wound up averaging 20.5 points per contest last season with Tarleton State. They're always known for being able to generate steals. He was able to get a little bit more than one per contest. Shot about 36% from three-point range. A Tarleton State team that they could use someone like this, 6'5" combo player that's able to bury some threes, and is going to be very beneficial for them. So I do think that that's a little bit under the radar. And one that I think is worth noting, Jack Dombia. He was playing last season out there at the junior college level for Tallahassee Community College, right around 7.5 points per contest for him. Little bit of a shifty combo player at 6'7", was able to give the team a few rebounds as well, right around a steal per contest. He's going to be heading to Norfolk State. Norfolk State has been a school that over the last few years they've been able to do a good job of being able to bring in some of these junior college guys, bringing in some of these guys from like the D2, D3 level. They come up, they wind up having a little bit of production, and we see that a lot with these swag schools as well. And one of those schools, that'd be Alabama State. They add in their Roland McCoy. He was playing for Iowa Western, which is actually one of the more underrated JUCOs out there, and wound up putting up some good numbers. How about 16 points, 4 boards per contest, shot 37.5% from 3-point range, a native of the great state of Illinois. He's going to be coming in and should be able to give this team a little bit of impact, not necessarily much of a defensive stopper, but Alabama State, a little bit of a new look team, and I do think that McCoy has a chance, even though he winds up coming up from the junior college level, to be able to give this team some production. And while we did wind up seeing quite a few guys winding up going up a level, we did wind up seeing a guy or two wind up going down a level. And by this, I mean Chad Baker-Mazzara. He was able to put up 6.5 points per contest while he was at San Diego State last season. He decided that he is going to be going to Northwest Florida State Junior College. You just don't wind up seeing this very often with these guys that they wind up having halfway decent years for these good schools, but typically whenever you do see it with someone like a Sean East II, I think that he's such a good example, someone who wound up seeing some very significant minutes out there in the Atlantic 10 and the Missouri Valley Conference. He went down to the junior college level for a year. He became a top 5 JUCO transfer. He's going to be playing for Missouri this year. You've got to think that someone like a Baker Mazzara might be trying to do the same thing. He was one of the top 6 men out there in the Mountain West this last season. 6.5 points per contest, shot 39.5% from 3-point range, 6'7", a little bit of a combo player. Even if he wanted to transfer, you got to feel like there would have been a lot of schools that would have been knocking down his door, as he wound up actually having 17 points in that NCAA tournament loss. So Creighton wound up picking up steam as the season wound up going along, as well as from January 1st on, he was able to average more like 7.5 points per game and shot 44% from 3-point range, 89% at the free throw line. You did wind up seeing San Diego State pick up a few guys in the transfer portal this offseason. Micah Parrish is going to be coming in, and on top of that, they did wind up bringing in Darion Trammell, who was playing at Seattle. So you've got to figure that maybe he was thinking that his minutes would be slashed a little bit and he wouldn't have as much growth as if he wound up going down this route. But that is going to be interesting to see. So a little bit of a blow for San Diego State. And then speaking of guys from the Mountain West, and we were talking quite a bit about the Mountain West in the last segment, Junior Ballard, he was at Fresno State this last season. He has decided that he is going to be heading over to Weber State, a team that in my Big Sky Conference preview, I've got them more towards the middle of the conference, and I still have them there. He wound up playing 2 years at Cal Poly, and his last year at Cal Poly was really his best. 13 points, 3.5 boards, and a steal per contest, while shooting about 35.5% from three in his 2 years in the Mountain West. Shot a little bit over 34% from three this last year, only averaged 5 points per game after he averaged a little bit over 7 two seasons ago. Not a guy that's going to go out there and necessarily be a multi-dimensional guy. You'd like to see the passing be a little bit better with him, but able to knock down some shots. So he should be able to come in, be able to give Weber State some points, probably see some minutes out there in a backcourt that they wound up losing quite a bit from last season. But hopefully we are going to be able to keep all that we had from last season and be able to grow from it, because
That's in our one during the college basketball season. They're one right now with great preparation and being able to take a look forward. And that's exactly what we're looking to do on this podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops. If you do like to hear from this fine podcast, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you've got a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at GUnit_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please send these into the timeline. The other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast. By that 5-star review, big thanks to Eli Becker of HXCBB for joining me in the last segment. Hopefully you guys are enjoying what you're hearing. We're going to be having more conference previews on tap in the coming days and coming weeks. So I'll chat with you guys once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.